RadioMD.com. Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robson, founder of EmpowHer.com, cut through the confusion to discuss all things her. This is Her Radio on Radio MD.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Let's talk about the three S's. Stress, sleep deprivation, and social jet lag. Yeah, we're going to weave them all together, and we're going to do it with our go-to stress expert, Dr. Theodore Friedman, who's professor of medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA and also the vice chair of the Department of Internal Medicine. And oh boy, the author of the Everything Health Guide to Thyroid Disease. Ah, Dr. Friedman, welcome back to Her Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Peek. Nice to talk to you.
Let's talk about stress. Start with the first S. What do you want to say?
Stress is the downfall of everybody. I tried to do a study one time comparing people with stress to people without stress. I couldn't find anybody without stress for my control group. So everybody has stress. Stress is the 21st century malady. And the trick is, how do you deal with your stress? The problem with stress is raise your cortisol levels. Cortisol goes up, start gaining weight, get diabetes, get obese, all those things that aren't that good for you. So we want to try to limit your stress, to limit your the rise in your cortisol.
All right. Well, so how stressful is sleep deprivation then?
Yeah, so sleep deprivation is one of the biggest things that gives people stress. People need a good night's sleep. If you don't get that both quantity and quality of good sleep, you feel lousy. Your body reacts to it. It's not used to being sleep deprived. And again, it kicks in that cortisol, gets to those problems of weight gain and diabetes that we don't want to avoid. So people need to get a good night's sleep and both try not to wake up too much and try to go to bed, get at least 7 hours. People that sleep less than 7 hours a night are associated with having higher rates of diabetes and obesity.
But people are so proud of that. You know, they say, oh, come on, all I need is 4 or 5 hours, and I'm rocking and rolling again, hopping out of bed and, you know, hitting the gravel running. And they're proud of that. They think that that's pretty cool. What are they missing?
They're missing the long-term picture. So there is variability in how much people sleep. So there are some people that need less and some people that need more. But in general, the people that think they can get away with it, they usually are hurting themselves in the long run, and they really can't. So, you know, long term, it's better to get a good night's sleep and don't be so macho.
All right. So let's talk hormones. You're a hormone expert.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at sleep deprivation, ooh, I'm smelling ghrelin and leptin. What's going on with those hormones? How does all this figure in?
Say the question again. I think we got cut out for a second.
So leptin and hormone, leptin is a hormone and ghrelin is a hormone. How do they interact, to be able to, pack on a few? When you wake up in the morning, are they functioning well if you are sleep deprived?
No, they're not. So leptin is a hormone that lets you feel satiated. And so your leptin is too high. You know, you don't feel satiated when you're sleep deprived. You don't have that satiety. I think that it's still the main hormone is the cortisol. And the cortisol, when it goes up, gets people to eat like comfort foods that your mother used to make, macaroni and cheese and mashed potatoes and things like that. So I would be more concerned about the cortisol than the satiety. But it's more people are eating the wrong foods when they're sleep deprived, not necessarily they're eating too much.
All right. So can you back up a little bit and tell all of our wonderful Her Radio listeners a little bit more about cortisol? When is it up? When is it down? What is it normal rhythm during the day? Because after you discuss that, then we'll go into that social jet lag rhythm.
All right. So normal cortisol is highest in the morning, starts rising about 3 or 4 in the morning, reaches a peak about 7 or 8 in the morning, and then it declines throughout the day. There's a little peak after each meal. But by the nighttime, it should be pretty low. If it's not low at night, then you get into problems. But too high cortisol at night, seems to give people, that it probably happens when you're sleep deprived, seems to give people that weight gain and all the problems that are associated with high cortisol.
Okay,
so have
I got
a nice,
it now.
You want to have a nice circadian rhythm. You want to have high cortisol in the morning and low cortisol at night.
Talk about social jet lag.
Okay, so social jet lag is our other epidemic in our society here. Social jet lag means that people have a tendency, possibly because they're using so much electronics, it sort of keeps them up at night, to stay up late and sleep in the morning. It's no problem if you're either independently wealthy, you don't have to go to work, or you have a job that you can fairly make your own hours. But if you have a job that you have to get to work at 7 and you have to wake up at 6, but you don't want to go to sleep till 1 o'clock, you're only getting 5 hours of sleep or so when you really need that 7 hours of sleep. And you get sleep deprived. And this gets worse when you come back from on a weekend. On a weekend, you say, okay, well, now I can sleep in. You're tired from not sleeping enough during the week to sleep in till, you know, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday comes, you wake up at 11 o'clock. You can't fall asleep back at 10 o'clock at night. You fall back asleep at 1 o'clock in the morning. You have to wake up at 6. So you get back this jet lag again the next day. So Mondays are usually the worst. And I think that's why people don't like Mondays, as the song used to say. So the social jet lag is a big problem that people aren't getting enough sleep, possibly because they're using too much electronics at night, and it's leading to rates of diabetes and obesity because it raises your cortisol as well. It gives you cortisol the wrong time of the day, too much at night and not in the morning.
So what's the solution?
Solution is the best thing is try to get your correct your sleep, go to bed at a reasonable hour, 10 or 11. Try not to have too much electronics at night, those LCDs and those computer screens keep people awake. Avoid caffeine and alcohol at night. Try to exercise more in the morning to get most of your light in the morning and not that much light and exercise at night. Although some people can do okay with the exercise at night, most people need the exercise in the morning to get their rhythm back and to avoid that social jet lag.
I don't know about you, but I think that the grand majority of people out there are not abiding by their own circadian rhythm. I think it's just mass chaos. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a big epidemic, you know. In the old days, people would sleep, would, you know, go to bed pretty early and wake up pretty early. That would be a nice rhythm. They're outside during the day when there's sunlight. This would really help them. Now people stay up late, wake, sleep in, and they don't get enough sunlight during the day, and they don't get enough sleep at night.
And I just, you know, I'm looking at this, and I'm also looking at kids. On teenagers and young adults who are just, to me, it seems like it's just massively chaotic. You've got one moment when you're kind of okay, then the next day goes to heck and back and forth. I see it getting worse and worse. But what's also interesting, one last thing, I think it's age-related too. As you get older, don't you start re-regulating a little bit closer to our normal rhythms?
Not necessarily. So I agree with you completely about the teenagers. You know, this is a big problem, especially among teenagers. They're really the people that stay up late and sleep late on weekends, and they walk into school and they're half awake. And, you know, how do you expect them to do well in school if they're sleep deprived, you know?
Right.
So I think we've got to start addressing this in the kids. General older people do need a little less sleep at times.
Yes.
I'm not sure that they get much better, though, as they get older. You know, maybe they're... You know, a lot of my older patients, they have really bad insomnia. They can't fall asleep, and then they sleep in the morning. I think it's just as bad for the older people as the younger people. I did want to make one more comment before we go about menopause.
All right, quickly,
so,
quickly.
You know, quickly. So, you know, this is our audience is women. A lot of them are going through menopause. When you're in menopause, you know, we know some of the problems with the hot flashes and stuff like that. But the hot flashes lately, people have really poor sleep. It does. That
right.
Sleep deprivation is the main problem of menopause that leads to people getting obesity and diabetes just because they're not sleeping well.
You're absolutely correct. Everyone, we've been talking to Dr. Theodore Friedman, who is the author of the Everything Health Guide to Thyroid Disease. GoodHormoneHealth.com is his website. Thank you, Dr. Friedman. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Hey, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you got a question, please shoot it to us at askher@radiomd.com. Stay well.